We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Said, "Well, I wonder which one it could be. I wouldn't do a thing like that." You can imagine it. This is so human and so natural. You know, so many things in the Bible, we just stop to read them, and human nature was just the same then as it is now. These men that Jesus chose were just men like you and me, see? They had the same Adamic nature. They had the same background. They belonged to the same family of the human race that you and I belong to. And you can go anywhere in the world, human nature is the same all over the world. Sometimes you can powder the nose of human nature, and press the pants of human nature, and shine the shoes of human nature, and you may even comb the hair of human nature, and make human nature look decent, but it really isn't. It's a pretty sordid sort of a nature. Well, you know, we belong to a fallen race. We belong to the Adamic race. We all have the same ancestry, you know. And down generation after generation has come to us. And so when Jesus came along, he said men had to be born again. Otherwise, you can't go to heaven like you are. You have to have a new birth. You had a bad birth when you came in this world. Oh, you can brag about your ancestors as much as you please. But you had a bad birth, see. So he came in this world, and you a sinner. A sinner by nature. A sinner by practice. You don't have to teach folks to sin. Just turn them loose and let them go. You have to teach them to do right. You know, all the moral business is uphill business. Doing wrong is going downhill. You don't have to do anything to do wrong except just go along. Just go down with the current of the nature of man. But you've got to go against the current. That's where discipline comes in, all that sort of thing. All right, then the disciples looked on one another, doubting whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, notice what Simon did. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him. That's Simon, always in the whole thing. That he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now, I can see Simon in my own mind now, looking across the table and sort of shaking his head and saying to John, who was leaning on his bosom, "Go ahead and ask him." He didn't say it out loud, just pointed. He could make himself understood, you know, just like you look across, shake your head. You can see it's so human, so natural. What a natural scene it was. And he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Now, that's John talking. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Poor Simon's name tied up there again. Simon, a good name, tied up with this man Judas, a bad name, a name of infamy in the world. All right, and after the sop Satan entered in them, then said Jesus unto him, "What thou doest, do quickly." In other words, go on, get through with it. If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it, see. Why put off something? Go ahead, now's the time. Go ahead and do it quickly. Don't fool around about it. That sounds so human and so plain. Why delay it? If you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. How that sounds like. Well, it doesn't sound like human nature, but it sounds like a man talking, and yet Jesus Christ was a God-man, and divinely speaking, too. Said, "What you going to do? Go ahead and do it." Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. They didn't seem to understand how thick their skulls were. You say, "Well, why couldn't they understand? Well, why can't you understand? Why can't I understand? Why can't everybody understand? Why can't everybody in the world see the thing? Why, you have educated men and women today that can't see. They can't understand. They should have known that Jesus Christ was going to be betrayed. He said he was. And he said that this one was going to betray him. But he said, what you do quickly. And for some of them thought he, because Judas had the bag that Jesus had done them, buy these things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received his sop, went out immediately out, and it was night. Somehow that little expression got hold of me. And it was night. Well, of course, that was physical darkness. But you know, it's always night for people when they walk away from Jesus Christ. Hell itself is outer darkness. I never understood what outer darkness means. I read a sermon when I was a boy by a great preacher named Muncy. I think I referred to this in one of my messages before. Muncy, that great preacher, the brilliant man that preached so many sermons on hell and future punishment, closes one of his great messages on future punishment with a picture of a sea of night called outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he has a soul turned loose out in that sea of night, and it's a lost soul. You know, there's nothing worse than being lost, just lost, that's all. That soul flies around in the night, crying, lost, lost, lost. Comes from a distance away out yonder. You can hear his voice away out in distance, faintly crying, lost. Comes nearer, lost, lost. And flies nearby now through the night, crying, lost, lost, lost. And it is lost. You know why it's lost? Jesus Christ isn't there. It's always darkness when he isn't there. He's the light of the world. Not the scholars, not the philosophers, not the poets, not the great statesmen, not the kings. He's the light of the world. He claimed that for himself. I am the light of the world. That's what he said about himself. Now, think of anybody else except Jesus saying that. But it's what you'd expect him to say. I am the light of the world. He didn't say the church was the light of the world. He didn't say any organization was the light of the world. He stands out alone, separated from the race and yet in touch with the race, and cries out, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, you don't have to be in the dark. There is no darkness for any man that keeps in touch with Jesus Christ. There's no darkness about the future. He's told you all you need to know about it. And what you don't know about it, you don't need to know. And you don't have to worry about it. He tells you that if you trust him, your sins are forgiven. They're all blotted out. He says he'll remember them against you no more forever. So I don't have to worry about the darkness of the past. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even on the end of the age. So I don't have to worry about the present. He's with me. I have him now. He said so. I have his word. And if I have his word, I have the light of life with me. And he went out into the night. Dark night it was, Judas Iscariot. You've gone back on Jesus Christ. You walked out on him. Oh, I've seen people do that. I remember a preacher boy I went to college with years ago. He's a nice fellow. He'd had a hard time, worked his way through. One of the finest fellows ever came to school. And I never shall forget when he graduated. Clean, fine fellow, close friend of mine, too. He went away back to one of the big seminaries up north to be a preacher. And 2 or 3 years passed by, and I went up to New York to speak. Of course, there wasn't so much modernism in the country, especially very little of it in the South. And I ran into this fellow up there. I said, well, I'm so glad to see you. And shook hands with him. He was cordial. And I said, how you know? He said, fine. I have a very good job here, assistant pastor of a church. And he said, you know, I don't look at things like I used to, Bob. I don't anymore believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. That old vicarious blood atonement stuff we were taught, you know, in college. That slaughterhouse religion. I've got away from all that now, you know. I believe in social service and the uplift of men. I think Jesus Christ was all right. But he was just a good example. He was divine. So am I, he said. I said, could it be? And he didn't have the light in his eye he used to have. He was a phony. They're always phonies. You've seen people like that that walk out on him, see? It's always night. It's night for you. I've told somebody now he used to love Jesus and used to have fellowship with him. And then one day the world came between you and him. And now it's not light anymore like it used to be. Clouds in the sky. And their shadows are gathering. He used to be, oh, I've had them say to me, if I just had what I once had. Well, you can have it. You can have that peace of God, that rest, that assurance. You don't have to worry. What if it is dark out yonder the future? There's no darkness for you in the future. Heaven's a city of light. John on the Isle of Patmos saw it, and he said, there's no night there. How he cried out in ecstasy about it. No night, the sun never sets. You know why there's no night in heaven? There's no sin in heaven. Nobody's walking out on Jesus up there. And up in heaven, it's eternally light. Cloudless sky. Sun never goes down. Always light. You don't have to go through darkness. You don't have to go through darkness. Even the valley of death will not be a dark valley when you get there if you're a Christian. As I've said so many times in one of my sermons I preached all over the country, you know, death is never a valley when a Christian gets to it. It looks like a valley. And the psalmist was talking about the valley of the shadow of death on his way there. But he said, thou art with me if I walk through that valley. It looks dark from a human standpoint. I try to breathe. I can't. I struggle with the enemy of death. And as I see it now, it looks dark, but it won't be when you get there. He's with you. And there's no dark valley when you have to go along through death to him. There'll be no dark valley. Judas Iscariot went out in the night. Poor fellow. Walked away from the light, could have had it. Out into the night, 30 pieces of silver. What'd he do with that? It made him miserable. He threw it down, wouldn't have it. Then what did he do? He broke his neck and went out into the eternal night. Men and women, listen. How about your yielding your life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ? Dedicate yourself fully to him, unreservedly. Look up to the cross. It was dark there for a while, but he went to the darkness because your sin was upon him and my sin was upon him. But now he is forevermore in the light. You and I can walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, and having received his salt, he went immediately out, and it was night. Our Father, save the hearts that have listened to this message this morning from an eternal night. Maybe some poor lost sinner is living in darkness now and is getting ready for the everlasting darkness, the sea of night, outer darkness. Oh, Lord God, speak to him. Deliver him. Help him to trust you. Help us Christians to let our light shine. Help us to know that he that said he was the light of the world says ye are the light of the world. And help us let our light shine. Help us to be faithful and true to our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.